Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm nearing the end of my second week talking about how to find God's will. And I tell you, this is something that every time I minister on this, it ministers to me. It makes me so thankful for everything that God has done in my life. This is the very first thing that I ever really sought the Lord about, was to find His will for my life. And I tell you, once I encountered the Lord and He revealed His purpose to me for my life, it just automatically, in a sense, made my life start moving in a direction. And I started seeing the intervention of God. And it set a chain of events into motion that has just really pushed my life and made me to where I am. And I believe that there's so many people that go through life without knowing God's will for their life. And because of it, they're like this, I used this example before, like a pinball that's just bouncing from place to place, and it just depends on what happens and what you run into, how your life goes. My life, honestly, by the grace of God, has been that God gave me a purpose, and I guarantee you, I have gone through things. Instead of me just bouncing off and responding and you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, God planted a goal in front of me, and against every odd and against all of the obstacles that have been placed in my way, we have persevered and we have seen some awesome things happen. And finding God's will is absolutely essential for that. And so that's what I've been talking about. And I tell you, I believe that this has been a help to people. On our program yesterday, I started sharing out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. These are the very verses that God used to just change my life. For 18 months prior to this time, I had been seeking to find out what God's will was. And I heard a man read Romans 12, 1 and 2. And the last phrase in Romans 12, 2 is that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And when I saw that phrase, that you can prove or make manifest, declare to the physical senses the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, it's like a neon light went on for me, like, this is it. This is what I've been seeking. And so I began to zero in on Romans 12, 1 and 2. And from December of 1967 until March the 23rd, 1968, I just meditated on Romans 12, 1 and 2. About, God, what is a living sacrifice? How do I do this? How do I renew my mind and not be conformed to this world? And I was seeking the Lord, and God was preparing my heart. And then on that night, Saturday night, March the 23rd, 1968, I encountered God in a way that forever changed my life. And it really began everything. And I believe that God wants to reveal Himself to every single person. But with me, it took 18 months of preparation. You know, I don't know how to get this point across, but in a sense, our hearts, the average person's heart, the average Christian's heart, is so hardened towards God that God can't plant a seed in the ground of your heart. He can't penetrate the hard crust. And it takes time to soften ourselves and to prepare the soil so that God can plant His truths in our lives. With me, as an 18-year-old boy, it took 18 months of preparation, and then God touched me, and man, my life changed. With some of you, it may take a few months. It might take a year. It might take 2 years. But you aren't going to get there any quicker than to start right now. And the point that I was making on our program yesterday is you have to be able to seek with all of your heart. And that's when God starts revealing His will to you, is when you get to where you are focused upon Him. A lot of people just have God as an appendage to their life. They seek God a little bit. They have a 15-minute or a 30-minute devotion, or they go to church once or twice a week, and that is their Christian segment of their life. And then the music that they listen to, the movies that they watch, the television that they watch, the books that they read, the friends that they keep, the things that they do, And on you could go with the list. It's just that time is all theirs. They give God 15, 30 minutes a day, once or twice a week, and they compartmentalize their life. You aren't going to find God's will that way. You're going to have to get to where you put God first. Or, let me go back to Romans 12:1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I tell you, this is the way that you find God's will. This is what the Scripture says. I've seen people that I believe somehow or another stumbled upon God's will for their life without being a living sacrifice. And I tell you what, that all that is a recipe for disaster. In our next segment, it's going to be a couple of weeks, but I'll talk about Moses, who did discover God's will for his life prior to him being a living sacrifice. And he went out and tried to accomplish God's will in his own strength and wound up killing a man. And it cost him 40 years in the wilderness, in hardship. And it cost the children of Israel 30 years extra bondage under the slavery of Egypt because he tried to do it his own way. This is God's system to finding God's will. It's becoming a living sacrifice and then renewing your mind. And as you do those things, after you cross those first two steps, then you prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. If somehow or another you are to sidestep, go around these things and somehow or another find God's will for your life, but if you weren't a living sacrifice, you'd ruin the whole thing. You'd blow it. If you tried and accomplish God's supernatural plan for your life in your own strength and ability, you would ruin the whole thing. I know that there's somebody watching this program that I'm describing you. You did find out. You have a leading about what God wants you to do, and yet you've leaned under your own understanding, and you have made a royal mess out of things. I'm telling you, this is God's method. You might can try and somehow or another circumvent this and get around, and you jump from step one to step five and things like that. But this is the way God intended it. By the mercies of God, He beseeches you that you present yourself a living sacrifice. Notice it says there in Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God, Paul was beseeching this. Some people think, well, you're asking a lot. So God put it to me that here I was wanting to know, God, did you want me to be a math teacher? Did you want me to be a lawyer, a doctor, whatever? That wasn't really God's will for me. God's will for me and for you, for every person watching this program, is to be totally committed unto Him as a living sacrifice. That's God's will. And then God wants you to renew your mind and begin to start thinking the way that God thinks. Those two things are God's will for every person. It says this is our reasonable duty. It's our reasonable sacrifice. This isn't just for preachers. This isn't just for people that are clergy, full-time people serving God. This is for every born-again Christian. It's our reasonable service to be a living sacrifice and to have our minds renewed. And if every person watching this program would do that, and I mean without reservation, say, God, I am absolutely committed to You. Anything in my life, You have access to everything. I'll change my actions. I'll change my movies. I'll change my life. I'll change my job. I'll change anything. God, You are absolutely in control. If every person was to do that and make yourself a living sacrifice, then I can guarantee you it would automatically begin to start proving all of these steps, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Those things come as a byproduct of being a living sacrifice and having our minds renewed. But if you try and circumvent that, if you aren't totally committed to God, and if your mind isn't renewed and you're still operating according to the way that this world thinks, then if you do stumble upon what God has planned for your life, I promise you, you're going to mess the whole thing up, or you're going to make it hard because you aren't committed unto God and you're leaning under your own understanding. You're injecting the way that the world thinks in there instead of God's thinking. You know, I'm going to make a statement here that some of you may struggle with at first, but if you'll listen, this will help you. with some of you who've been praying for God to open up doors and cause something that you know it's His will to come to pass. The reason it hadn't come to pass yet is because God loves you so much. You aren't a living sacrifice. Your mind isn't renewed. And if God was to open up this door and point you in that direction, you would mess the whole thing up. And it's because God loves you so much that things aren't working. You know, I was in a church service one time where I was ministering to ministers, and I called people forward, and I was going to pray for all of these ministers to find God's will for their life. And the very first person in the line, I don't know why, but I just had a discernment in my heart that I wasn't supposed to pray for this guy. And so instead of starting on that end and starting with him, I went to the second person, and I started down the line praying. Well, this guy got offended that I didn't pray for him, so he got out of that line and went around to the bottom. And when I got around to the end of the line, here was this guy that I felt like I shouldn't pray for again. And so I kind of stopped, and I was about ready to walk away, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he says, "You're avoiding me. Why won't you pray for me?" And I just turned around, and I said, "All right, I'll tell you what God told me." I said, "You want to be a minister. You are trying to kick the doors down and make that ministry happen." And I said, "It's because God loves you so much that you haven't had the doors open because you aren't ready. You're a mess. And if God was to open up the doors, not only would you fail and you be hurt, but you would hurt other people because you aren't ready yet." I said, "It's God that's closing the doors to your ministry." And you know, to this guy's credit, he received what I said, and he waited a little bit, but he still went out premature, and he wound up getting into some serious problems. He's out of the ministry. He's back into the sin that he came out of. And you know what? It was God that was keeping the doors from opening up. I know that with me, even after I had this experience and God began to show me that He wanted me to be a teacher and a minister and to help train people and disciple people, and I began to start taking steps in that direction, my goal, my vision was much bigger than what I was experiencing. And I remember praying and begging and pleading with God, "Oh, God, use me. God, I want to touch people's lives." And I remember just begging God to use me. And the Lord brought me back to these very verses that He used to change my life. And basically, He told me, He says, "The reason I'm not using you is because you aren't usable." He says, "Quit praying, God, use me, and instead pray, God, make me usable," which is becoming a living sacrifice and renewing my mind. And He says, "If you will do that, you will prove, you will experience the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God." And did you know, since that time, I've quit trying to knock the doors down. I've quit trying to make things happen. And what I do is just seek the Lord, and I make myself available. And as God works in my life, I really believe that God wants to use me and use you more than you want to be used. And we don't have to beg God. If God isn't using you, it's because you aren't usable. So the focus shouldn't be on, "Oh, God, use me." The focus should be on, "God, help me to be a living sacrifice." You get in and renew your mind through the Word of God. And as you become usable, God will use you. God is wanting to raise up people and impact this world and change people's lives. And He's wanting to manifest His glory in this earth more than you are. If you think that you've got a burning desire on the inside of you to reach people, where do you think that came from? That's not human nature. That's not you. That's not natural. This is God that has stirred you up. It's God that's placed that on the inside of you. God wants it more than you want it. So you don't have to beg God to use you. What you need to do is make yourself a living sacrifice. Renew your mind. And when you become usable, God will use you. See, these are the things that God was speaking to me out of Romans 12, 1 and 2. And as I change my direction from, "God, what vocation do you want me to have?" And I begin to start realizing it's not about my vocation. You know, some people think that God is so goal-oriented, results-oriented, that it's just all about results. But with God, the journey is more important than the destination. We need to be human beings, not human doings. God is more concerned about who you are than what you do. And as you get God's mind and as you focus on Him and you begin to become the person that God wants you to be, which is a living sacrifice, a person who's totally sacrificed their life and turned it over to God, and God is in control. As you become that, I can guarantee you, I promise you this. This is an unconditional money-back guarantee that you become a living sacrifice and you renew your mind, and I guarantee you that you will experience God using you. God will open up doors. God will put you in positions where you can influence other people and touch their life. You don't ever, ever have to beg God and plead with God to use you. If it seems like your ministry or your business or whatever area of influence you've got isn't working, take a different approach. And instead of pleading with God for this result, oh God, help this to happen, instead just say, God, take me and make me the person that I need to be so that you can use me. And you mean that. And it's a process. It's not just a one-time prayer. But as you become a living sacrifice, I guarantee you that the rest will all follow. So you can either do it God's way, which is to become a living sacrifice, renew your mind, and then everything that you need to accomplish God's will in your life will just fall into place. And God will supernaturally direct you and things will work out. You can do it that way, or you could somehow or another stumble upon God's will for your life and try and bring it to pass in your own strength, and you can become frustrated. You can hurt people. You can leave a string of people in your wake that are just broken and bruised lives and hurt and offend people, and you can do it with great damage to yourself and stumble through and never totally fulfill God's will. I can guarantee you that doing it God's way is by far the better way. Again, I'm going to teach on this in more detail, but see, Moses knew God's will for his life, but he went out and killed a man thinking that that would accomplish it, and it cost him 40 years in the wilderness. It cost the children of Israel 30 years extra bondage in slavery because he tried to do it God's way. And then when he finally became a living sacrifice and was willing to literally give up his life and pick up a serpent by the tail that could have turned and bit him and killed him, when he became a living sacrifice, then he went down and did it God's way and defeated the mightiest nation on the face of the earth at the time and brought a great deliverance. And here we are 4,000 years later plus talking about this man Moses because he became a living sacrifice and God was able to use him. And you could go right on through the Word of God and show this time after time. You can see examples of people that tried to accomplish the right thing, God's will, in their own strength and power, and they hurt themselves and other people. You can show other people who waited and became the person that God needed them to be, and then they fulfilled it, and it works nearly effortlessly when you do it that way. I've already mentioned this on our program, but you know, with me, I was touched by the Lord in 1968. It was 1999, 31 years later, that God spoke to me and said I was just now beginning to fulfill His perfect will for my life. 31 years later, after seeking God, and I wasn't out of God's will prior to that time, but see, there's just a growth process. There's a difference between home cooking and fast food. It takes longer to fix the home cooking. The stuff that tastes the best, the stuff that's the best for you, it takes longer to prepare it. If you want to find God's perfect will for your life, it's going to take longer than just some, you know, instant way to microwave your life and your ministry and your miracle. It's going to take some time. And some people in our mindset today, we are just so focused on, I want to get this instant result so you can go back to being carnal and not having to seek God and not having to be a living sacrifice. Give me my answer right now so I can go back to all of the things you're doing that are occupying your life. That's the mindset of a lot of people. But I'm telling you that it's worth the effort to become a living sacrifice. And it'll take more time, but it'll save you a tremendous amount of hurt and pain. It'll save you hurting other people. And it will make you much more effective. This is God's system. God's system is for you to be a living sacrifice. Then renew your mind And after those two things, then you will prove. It'll just come to pass effortlessly the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. That is God's system. That's not to say that that's the only system, but that's the best system. That's the one that will save you a lot of grief. There's people that I'm talking to right now that, man, your life has been rough. And certainly we've got an enemy that causes a lot of problems with many of you. The devil is on vacation. You've done a bang-up job of destroying your own life. I'm telling you that if you would just humble yourself and become a living sacrifice, this is the better way. You know, I'm going to continue this teaching on our program tomorrow, and I encourage you to listen in because I've still got a lot of really good things that could help you and save you some problems and effort. We've got a number on your screen. I encourage you to call and request these materials that we've got on how to find God's will.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Find God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled Becoming a Living Sacrifice, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a quick update on our project here in Woodland Park. We've called it the Sanctuary, which that word means a place dedicated to the glory of God, and that's what this place is. And we're in the process of moving out here. We purchased this 157 acres in September of 2009, and since then we've been going through permit process. Okay, so we right now are in the lodge, and it's located right about here. It's not marked on this map. And we're going to come out this road right here, this little single line. This is proposed roads that the builders have in here, but this little single dotted line is the existing dirt road that we have. And we're going to come out here and take this little dirt line right here, this little single line, and go by the pond. We're going to build a pavilion out here on the pond for staff and students to use as like a break area and also our summer get-togethers and things. As you can see, we've gotten some equipment. This is a skid loader that we bought, and we've been doing a lot of work with that. This equipment, this backhoe and stuff over on the left-hand side, a man from Arizona donated that to us, and that is an industrial heavy duty. It's a very big one, and that thing, I'm not sure the exact price, but I know it was over $30,000 that piece of equipment cost, and that's been donated to us, and that's a real blessing. And starting from about right where we are right now, this will be the back side of our auditorium, and then from here all the way up over
This little hill will be the auditorium portion of our new facility, and this is the view that we will have. The whole southern side of this building is going to be glass, and it's going to be about 3 stories of glass, and it'll run the entire length of the south side facing Pikes Peak. And also this gets southern exposure. So as far as environmentally or as far as the utilities, this is going to be tremendous because we are going to take all of this solar heat and use it to heat the building. It'll be really a great thing. So that auditorium will reach up to just about this spot right here. And this auditorium will go from here back. And then there will be a connector right here that goes over. And in this area and down overlooking this pond will be where we have that dining hall, what I'm calling the barn. And it will start from here and it will extend down towards those trees, but it'll be out overlooking the lake and again have this entire view. So it is going to be a beautiful, beautiful place. See, this is our building site, and as you can see, there is a housing addition over here that you can see approximately maybe half a dozen houses. And back to the east down here is where Highway 24 comes through, but you can't see it. That one road that you can see far off in the distance is actually an access road that comes into Highway 24 that leads up to another housing addition. But from the highway or from this Trout Creek Road that goes back through the forest, neither one of them, you can't see this from here. So this will be totally hidden from the highway. People won't even know what's here unless they were to come in here and actually see it. It's going to be awesome. And we are now in the process of going through all of the permits, all of these processes, and we hope that in the summer, probably at least before August of 2010, we'll be able to start putting in the roads and putting in the infrastructure, the utilities, electrical, water, sewage, all of these things, and give access to the building site so that we can begin the excavation and the actual building process in 2011. This first portion that we're doing, we're calling paving the way. That's our architectural fees, putting in the roads, the utilities, all of this infrastructure. And it's going to be around $3 million to $3.5 million just to get this first phase done. And we've had about $1 million of that come in. And so I just wanted to thank those of you who have been behind that. And we believe that we're right on target. We'll be able to get this first phase, paving the way, done before the end of 2011. And then in the beginning of 2011, we'll actually begin the excavation and all the building process. So I want to thank those of you who've been a part of this and who are a part of our foundation builders. We are building buildings, but primarily we're building lives changed by the power of God that are going to go out and make a difference in this world. And you are a part of it. So thank you very much.